Hey everyone, it's me, Tim.
And me, Camille.
And we, like many of you out there, are feeling just a little reflective right now.
Yeah, isn't that what always happens? You get to the end of the year, start thinking about the things you crossed off that resolution list, and the things you're going to pretend that you never put on that resolution list.
Well, for us, this all kind of has a bit of added weight because, guys, last show of season 3.
Yeah, we're taking a little winter break after this to start stockpiling some new shows, which we'll bring you guys in spring 2018.
But back to what we were saying earlier about reflection, and both of us have been thinking about, like, did we do a good job this season? And not, like, a good job in the sense of did we make our boss happy, which I hope she's happy, but, I mean, like, did we connect on some kind of deeper meaning?
Oh, I can definitely help with that question.
Ooh.
Oh, snap.
Hey.
Jesus, is that you?
Yes, it's me, my children. I haven't seen you in church or in temple in a while, but you know I'm always here.
Why you gotta put me on Fresh Street? Nice to see you too.
Aw, it's good to be here, and I'd love to chit-chat with you, but I'm afraid this isn't a social call. I'm here on my father's business.
Aw, Jesus, are you talking about that deal we made about how you'd come back on the show?
That's right, little buddy. It's Judgment Day, and I've been taking notes on your show.
Oh, man. I guess I just figured you were kind of... I don't know. I just didn't take it seriously. I don't know that I was really thinking about that when we were going through...
He's a little freaked out.
I'm really kind of freaked out right now.
I get that. Most folks are when I do this. But don't stress too hard. And besides, remember, it's my business to forgive people.
Oh, that's good to know. So how is this going to work?
Well, I figured we go point by point through each show, stack up what you've done and said, balance that against your intent and
what's in your soul. Jesus Christ, hold on. We don't have time for that on the show.
I'm just playing with you.
Good one.
Yeah, so what did you have in mind?
Well, I'm going to pull out some bits and pieces from your shows this season and tell you what I was thinking while I listened. And like everything in the universe, my children, there's some good and bad here. So why don't you two roll that bumper music? We got to get this show on the road to Damascus.
Oh man, you're in the driver's seat right now. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. What's that song? I'm gonna make the joke.
Do it.
Jesus take the wheel.
Oh Lord. Or oh me. From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here, a show for woke folk.
Jesus, where are we starting?
Well, the last time I was here, there was a lot of consternation and fuss about me being black and such, because, you know, a lot of people get it twisted and think of me as a white fella.
Yeah, we talked to a bunch of people who this is, like, really hard for, in particular a white pastor in St. Louis.
Yeah, and if you guys want to go hear that story, and you do, it's in our archives. The episode is called Jesus Was Black.
Man, I cracked up so hard when the pastor sees the statue of me as a white fella while on his trip to Africa. That's just cray.
Yeah, we should just roll some tape of Jeff, the pastor, talking about his reaction.
I was at a little village called Mazanad, where there was an old Catholic mission and printing press. And it was my first time driving up to the printing press, and in the courtyard outside the Catholic church, there is a statue of Jesus. And there's a statue of white Jesus in this 99% black African country.
This moment, Jeff says, is when things really started to click. See, because by this point, he'd gone beyond the initial shock of being confronted with a non-white Jesus.
He accepted cultural mirroring as just a normal fact of life.
But the white statue of Jesus in the middle of a black country made him question something deeper.
It reminded me that the whiteness of Jesus is almost always, I would say, a part of the colonial project, right? We are the overlords, and this is what our Lord looks like.
Trust us, there is a lot more to Jeff's story. But Jesus, I don't want to sound antsy and all, but can we get to the part where you judge us?
Oh, yeah. Since we're on the topic of statues, in your country, I gotta say there's been much angst about these Confederate monuments, whether to keep them or tear them down. It reminds me of all the false idol stuff that Pops had to deal with back in the day.
Jesus, keep it coming.
Well, For some people, worshiping a symbol is more important than living up to the ideas and values people say they have in their soul.
Oh, that's a good point.
And I liked how you all addressed that in your episode this summer about Confederate monuments.
Would you like?
Well, I think you all brought some much-needed national context to the issue, even though St. Louis, I have to admit, handled it relatively calmly when it came to taking the monument down.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of yelling and protest here in St. Louis, but nothing compared to what went down in some southern states, especially a place like New Orleans.
You know what? I liked what their mayor, Mitch Landrieu, had to say after he took down the statues in that city.
These statues are not just stone and metal. They're not just innocent remembrances of a benign history. These monuments celebrate a fictional sanitized Confederacy, ignoring the death, ignoring the enslavement, ignoring the terror that it actually stood for. And after the Civil War, these monuments were part of that terrorism, as much as burning a cross on someone's lawn. They were erected purposefully to send a strong message to all who walked in the shadows about who was still in charge in this city.
That's what I'm talking about. A lot of people are mixing up heritage and history, and they're out here basically worshiping history for history's sake.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And here's the deal. If religion is white supremacy, then we're all going to hell in a handbasket.
So, bottom line, you think we did okay with this episode?
Y'all did fine.
Well, thanks, Jesus. That's kind of good to hear. I mean, this whole judgment stuff has been like a real pick-me-up straight
A's.
Hold up.
Don't get your sainthood acceptance speeches ready, because y'all ain't perfect, understand?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I gotta say, there was one episode that kind of let me down. The one about allyship.
What?
Come on.
People love that episode.
And I just gotta tell you, Jesus, I mean, between us, our numbers were really good for that episode.
You earthlings work in metrics. I work in eternity. Ooh. Y'all forget I'm omniscient. I know your download numbers, and they ain't that good for you to be bragging about. And
ouch!
Hey, sorry. And hey, listen, I laughed a lot in that episode, as I'm sure most people did, but I thought you could have hit harder.
Oh?
Look, I love the fact that you guys thought outside the public radio box and made an actual quiz about allyship. It was cute. And it kind of reminds me of the test that we give people trying to get into the pearly gates. You know, St. Peter doesn't play, bruh.
You know, I didn't know that part of the Bible. Jesus, are you out here spilling the tea?
Me and St. Peter cool, but sometimes I'm like, look, bruh, you got to relax. Anyhow, I'm digressing. The episode was hilarious, and Amy Hunter, the diversity expert who helped make the quiz for the show, she was cool as a fan, and I love her response when y'all asked her how she reacts to people calling her articulate.
I probably giggle first. I mean, I just think life's pretty funny, generally speaking. And I kind of think that's one that people should know not to say anymore. But I just called articulate. I think it was the day before yesterday. And I understood they meant it as a compliment. I usually just spend some time saying, hey, I know you probably meant that as a compliment. It's sometimes perceived this way.
Yeah, that part makes us laugh, too, because it is so funny and so true.
But Jesus, I don't get it. I mean, what's not to like about this episode?
If that free will I gave you was used to make the world one big, beautiful bubble of wokeness, I'd be like, you nailed it. But I know that's not true. Mm. The two friends who took the quiz, they weren't perfect, but they definitely had a passing score. And at the same time, I see a whole lot of folks who have failed miserably. So you could have been bold and given it to the non-woke masses instead. Now, that would have been interesting.
I hear you. But hey, this is a podcast, which means it lives forever. There's still time.
Yeah, so anybody out there who's listening and hasn't taken the Ally Quiz, you can find it on our website, www.welivehere.show. Do it yourself. Give it to your racist uncle. Tell us how you did. You know, that kind of stuff.
Maybe in season 4, we can bring you Ally Quiz Part 2. So, Jesus, you dig the Confederate Monuments episode, not really into the Ally episode.
And we were kind of all over the place this season. We covered everything from economic disparities to criminal justice reform. So I was thinking, like, maybe we just run down some of our episode topics and then, Jesus, you tell us how we did.
I like that plan. Mm-hmm. So Jesus, what about the one we did on minimum wage here in St. Louis, where workers got a raise and then state lawmakers took it away?
Well, I thought it was solid. Very fair reporting. It kind of reminded me of Matthew 25:40. And I know you can't find that in the guidebook, so don't try.
Oh, man.
How you treat those with the least in this society is a true reflection of your faith.
Oh, that's cool. What about one of my favorites, Revolution from Within? It's about black police officers' decades-long fight to change policing from the inside out.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I recognize James Buchanan. He's on the stairway, you know.
We should just let folks know that Buchanan is the guy who started the Black Police Union here in St. Louis.
Yeah, he's a good fella. And it's been too easy for people to assume that all black people hate the police, especially in these last few years. And I liked how you all told the story of how the community stepped up to protect black officers pushing for reforms after they were threatened by some white officers.
All right, Jesus, I think we got time for one more quick evaluation before we take a break.
Yeah, so I'm curious. What'd you think about the one we put together after Charlottesville? The one where we got deep into racial identity development theory and hung out with a bunch of people trying to turn their feelings into action.
Oh, you mean the woke spectrum episode?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, that one seemed like the perfect moment for listeners to really kind of take stock of where they are, kind of like when Saul becomes Paul in the Bible, but I don't expect you two to remember that.
Oh, come on, Jesus.
Jesus, with the jokes.
Killing us.
Gotcha.
Oh, man.
You gave them the facts, and it was up to them whether to go into the light. And if anybody was listening, was going to convert, I think that episode would have made them do it.
Mm, high praise from a holy man. At this rate, we're going to make the honor roll.
Now, don't be getting the big head now. I told you about that. I keep the red pen.
I'm sorry, is the red pen part of some other, like, parable reference you're making right
now
that we don't know about?
Yeah, and big head. I don't remember that phrase being in any Bible verses I've read.
Hold up. Are you all trying to fact check me right now?
Maybe.
Now, getting the big head is what the whole damn book is about. You wouldn't know, though.
Killing us. Fair point, Jesus. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick little break. Can you hang out?
Yeah, man. I'll be right here.
Cool. All right, let's get back into our evaluation from Jesus. But before we get too deep into this, have you guys ever had that moment where somebody who you thought you knew really, really well just randomly drops a fact out of nowhere?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what? So anyways, that's what Jesus did, just did to us during the break. We're just kind of like sitting around and he casually mentions to us that he happened to go to school here in St. Louis.
Yep, Catholic school.
Work for real?
Yes. And look, to set the record straight, in case you hadn't heard, me and Pops don't make mistakes. Everything I do has a purpose, so we just don't casually drop anything.
Okay. Fair enough.
So look, I brought up my Catholic school experience because it parallels to a pair of episodes y'all did last August around the third anniversary of Michael Brown's death.
How so?
Back in my day, the nuns, Pops bless them, were super strict. And anytime one of the kids got hurt or in trouble or felt anything negative, they always told us that what we should really be feeling was grateful. Grateful because what we were experiencing didn't hurt nearly as bad as what I felt on the cross.
Jesus, just hold on a second. Like, because you're completely like breaking any sense I have of like narrative immersion. And I'm kind of.
Yeah, I mean, are you saying that you time traveled? Because
Would you all please? All you need to know is that Pops works in mysterious ways. So please have faith and stick with me. The faith of a mustard seed, please. My point is that it seemed like these nuns were trying to dictate how us kids should feel or how we could express emotions. And you guys in your episode, Hands Up, Mics On, and Finding Art in Activism, brought up this memory in me. Because the artists talk about all those restrictions placed on black people in society, about what they can feel and how they can show it and how they can express it. And I see how black people are treated in America. They can be sad sometimes, but I know this, they can never be angry.
Yeah, this came up many, many, many times during the conversations we had with black playwrights we showcased in the Hands Up episode.
Yeah, I really think people need to hear some of that. Do me a favor, my children. Play the last part of the monologue, How I Feel.
You mean the piece by Dennis A. Allen II? That's the one?
Yeah, that's the one.
All right. Give me just a second here. And All right, I got the tape, so I'll just play a little of it right now.
I am human. My life is valuable, and I shouldn't have to keep my hands held high to prove it. And time again, keeping our hands held high hasn't gotten us treated like human beings should be treated. So how do I feel? Screw you. It's how I feel. I will not allow you to take away my humanity. Every time you tell me not to be angry, that I'm too aggressive, that I shouldn't be out at night, that I shouldn't wear a hoodie, and that I need to pull up my pants, and when I comply with your orders and reach for my wallet, you kill me anyway. When I drop to the ground and allow you to handcuff me, you shoot me anyway. When you put me in the back of the paddy wagon, you break my neck anyway. Screw you! Mike Brown was shot 6 times. He had no weapon. Brains were blown out in broad daylight. There is not language strong enough to convey what I feel about that. Screw you for not feeling what I feel. Screw you for shutting down because, yes, I'm using strong language. Because I'm not safe. My father's not safe. My brothers and sisters, my mother is not safe because none of you value our lives. Police don't. Whites don't. Blacks don't. But I will not allow you to take away my rights, my humanity. You indiscriminately killing me is a display of your power. Being willing to die for what I believe in is the display of mine. Hands up. Hands up. Hands up.
As you know, Jesus, in the stage version of the play, the actor doesn't say, screw you. He actually says, fuck you.
Yeah, they had to change it to avoid broadcast fines.
For the record, I care more about what you do than if you cuss.
Oh, that's good to know.
But again, I liked how in your interview with Dennis, he drove home the point about the limits society tries to place on black expression. And how when he performs the monologue, he asks the audience to hold their arms up the entire time so they can physically feel the discomfort.
And it was really interesting, one of the times that I performed, a woman pulled me to the side, a white woman pulled me to the side, and she was like, you know, I wanted to keep my hands up, but it just made me feel too vulnerable, and I felt like a victim, so I had to put my hands down. And I was like, oh, I was like, well, that's, just imagine having your hands up your entire
life.
Your entire life, exactly. But, you know, thank you for sharing that with me.
We found ourselves turning to art throughout the entire season.
I noticed that, like in your episode on White Flight.
Yeah, that episode is one of my favorites. If you guys haven't heard it, it's about this connection between poet Shiraz Gorman and this white woman, Christine Schmeis, who's trying to reconcile her family's decision to flee to the suburbs once black people started moving into their neighborhood.
Yeah, it struck me as I was listening, Christine was the victim of her parents and an entire generation of white people bearing false witness on black people. In church people speak, if you can't get along with your neighbor, then you can't expect to go to heaven. And to me, that's the tragedy in all of this.
Yeah, it kind of fits with what Shiraz said when I asked her what she thinks may have happened if families like Christine's hadn't given in to their fears.
I'll just go back to it with memories. You would have had some great memories. Would have had some great friends who would have became adopted family members, like how Charlie Mueller was to our family and into my life, you know? So I think that's what people miss out. You know, with, it's like, yeah, you could have missed out on some real, you missed out possibly on some really meaningful connections and having your worldview changed, you know. I didn't grow up with stereotypes thinking that somehow white people were better than black people. We all lived on the same block, you know. We went to the same church. Went to the Catholic church right up here. Went to Holy Name on Grand and Emily, you know? So it's like, yeah, your worldview would have been changed and challenged and quite possibly, you know, had the possibility to walk in this world a little more whole, And a lot less ignorant of other people, you know, and people's ways of life and in behaving, and probably would have been able to humanize each other versus allowing the television to dictate, you know, what you believe about folks and how crime-ridden, you know, this area was supposedly, you know. It eventually got that way. But I mean, that's what economic disparity and poverty does. That's what redlining does. It brings in, it allows the space for a certain element. Just didn't get that way. Just didn't start out that way. And guess what? There was crime here when there were white people here. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, there were drugs here when there were white people here. You know, so I think that's the thing that, you know, would have been challenged and changed for her. Just quite possibly would have walked through the world a lot more whole and understanding, and to really see we all people. Yeah, we have our cultural differences, of course, you know. But at the end of the day, when you all see each other on a Saturday morning and Sunday morning out planting flowers, cleaning your yard, blasting music, sharing food and everything else, that's what it was. 'Cause at the end of the day, everybody just wanted to be happy.
You know, I think next year y'all should get deeper into where people live and why they live there. Maybe tackle the other side of these housing issues, things like gentrification and all of that.
Oh, Jesus, shh. We don't want to give everything away for our next season. Come on, man.
But thank you for the suggestion.
All right, so we're good to go here. I think this has been fun. I never thought I would say this, but Jesus, thank you for judging us.
Hold up. I still have the wheel. We're not done yet. There's one more episode I wanted to talk about.
Are you sure? Because we pretty much have covered the entire season.
Except the one that was my favorite. The one where you two had to bare your souls.
TNK time.
Yeah, I mean that episode was fun for us to do, but I mean, we just kind of thought it was filler. It was just us talking about us. I mean, and who wants to hear that?
Everyone wants to hear that, my children. Because it's about the second greatest commandment of all, and that is to love one another. In that episode, you all spoke to each other out of an abiding respect. You all highlighted issues of respect in the community and respect for other people's ideas. And most of all, you illustrated love for your neighbor. You can't get no righter.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
Oh. I wasn't expecting that.
You're welcome, my children.
Jesus, you are the best, man.
I know.
Okay, but can we book you for season 4?
I'm ready to go.
All right, Jesus, let's roll some credits.
Well, We Live Here is produced by Tim Love the People Lloyd and Camille Stand for Justice Stanley.
All right, and Sheila Newman, she's the executive editor of St. Louis Public Radio.
And from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From PRX.